Please turn back with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, where we read the last section there from verse 40 to 45. Man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Touch. How important is touch to you? Some of us get touched a lot. Some of us maybe don't get touched very much. I was in this week visiting an elderly gentleman, and a carer came in, and over the course of just a very short 5 minute visit, the carer touched him several times in the course of their work, and it was so much appreciated. Whatever you think about it, because we're all in the business of calculating the risk of touch at the moment, much more so than we used to be. But touch is very important, and we all know how the past has shown that babies that are reared without being touched, without being cuddled, without being held close, they just don't thrive. They die. Touch is part of the very fabric of being human, to touch and to be touched, whether it's a kiss or a hug, or a handshake, or a high five, whatever it is, we're touching people all the time. The pandemic's made it more difficult for us to know just where touching's okay, because we have to try and figure out the person we're about to touch. Are they okay with this? And they may signal in some way to us, "I'm not ready for this yet." Or they may move closer and welcome the touch. We become in our society so aware of contagion and bacteria and viruses, the way that things are communicated by touch, that we don't want to communicate sometimes. And so there are risks and there are negatives. Negatives of being close to people and sharing the same air. You know, if we listen to all the risks and all the warnings, we'd be better all living in caves. But we do need to touch. We need touch, even though we know there are risks. And in some societies, touch is a matter of status. You know, what particular stratum of society you're in, there are untouchables. There are people who are, for religious reasons, not part of the body of people that you're allowed to touch. They'll make you unclean. So touch is a difficult and complex thing, but it's a good thing where it affirms, where it shows affection, and where, as we've heard, it's so good for people's mental health. You need to touch in relationships. You need to touch often in activities, in sports. There are jobs that require touch. And we have to decide, what do we do? I don't know how many of you have had the experience in the pandemic of going to the doctor or being under medical examination. It's been pretty weird sometimes, where you're sitting there and the doctor is washing his hands, you know, and getting on the gloves and protective equipment and all the rest of it, because they're going to be touching you and how you feel. And, you know, I've had people describe themselves as being really distressed by that. Didn't particularly bother me, because I knew I could go home and get a hug from Margaret, it felt really bad to be like that, to be a leper. We don't want to live like that. But this man in the story certainly had to. And I'm sure you've heard many times what an extraordinary thing it was in the context of the society Jesus lived in, that this leper, first of all, would come within 50 paces of Jesus, because that was the regulation for lepers, 50 paces away and more, that he would come, you know, the other lepers stand at a distance and speak, but this man comes right to Jesus, and then that Jesus would come even closer and touch this man. It's a remarkable thing, because leprosy was a particularly difficult illness, an incurable illness, usually, and you didn't want to get leprosy. It was a terrible life sentence for people. And so there were laws in the Old Testament. There were laws about lepers and them being unclean and staying at a distance and so on. But Jesus completely ignores that. Well, maybe ignore is not the right word, because he's very aware of it. But whatever the regulations are, he touches the man. Doesn't condemn him for coming too close, but actually reaches out and touched the man. He reached out his hand. I wonder when was the last time that leper had been touched by someone who wasn't a leper. But Jesus touched him. Jesus doesn't have to touch him, because if he's going to heal people, he doesn't need to touch them. For example, think of the centurion's servant, says, "You don't even need to come in under my roof. Just speak the word." And Jesus speaks the word at a distance. He doesn't need to be physically in contact with someone to heal. So the reason Jesus touches the man here is because he wants to touch him. He is willing, as the leper says. If you're willing, Jesus says, reaches out his hand, touches him and says, "I am willing." In fact, if you go looking for this in the Gospels, you find that Jesus touches people a lot in the Gospels. I mean, here's just a quick rundown. Peter's mother-in-law with the fever touches her. Little children brought to him for him to place his hands on. The parents say, the parents actually want Jesus to put his hands on them. They want him to touch the children. He does. And there are a couple of places in the Gospels where it says, you know, people were bringing the sick in large numbers, and he touches them all, or they're wanting to touch him, and he lets them and he touches them. Blind eyes, like we read in chapter 8, mute tongue, he touches. The woman who was bent, he touches. Demon-possessed boy, he touches and lifts him up. Malchus, who was one of the number, came to arrest him, got his ear cut off, he touches and heals the ear. The feet of the 12 disciples in the upper room, he washes them, he touches constantly. In fact, touching seems to be a characteristic of Jesus' ministry. So much so that Jairus, remember the synagogue ruler? I was really staggered when I noticed this. Jairus expected Jesus to touch his dead daughter. Touching, of course, a dead body made someone unclean. So you just didn't do it unless you had to, as your job. Jairus says, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she'll live." So people observed this in Jesus. He was tactile. And not only that, he let other people touch him too. He didn't have any hang-ups about that. And just me saying that, I'm not in any way passing any kind of judgment. It's not my thoughts about what your attitude is, particularly in COVID, to touching other people. We're not talking about that. We're just looking at Jesus and thinking what that means for us. He lets others touch him. Multitudes who want to be healed, we're told in the Gospels, they wanted to touch him. After the resurrection, he says, "Touch me." In 1 John, John opens his letter and speaks about Jesus. He says, "That's which we have seen and heard, which our hands have touched." Jesus. And then there's this in Luke chapter 7. The woman who had lived a sinful life, as she stood behind Jesus at his feet weeping. Remember, they're not sitting in chairs like you are. They're on couches facing one another with their feet all sticking out the back. And she is there. She stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. But Jesus is very happy to be touched by a sinner. Very happy to touch a sinner, a sinful woman, a leper, someone who's sick, someone who's outcast, someone who has a poor reputation. Dwell on that for yourself. We all get days when we feel untouchable. We all get days, most of us probably, when we just feel, why would God want to have anything to do with a person like me? And those are the days we need to just remember Jesus, sent by the Father to touch people like you and me. Jesus touches. He also disobeys. The Levitical law about leprosy said anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face. That sounds very modern, doesn't it? And cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, leprosy, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. That's Leviticus 13. Leviticus 5 says anyone who touches a leper becomes unclean. So that's the what we call a ceremonial law of God. And this encounter contravenes that. Jesus is breaking the Old Testament law. And so does he become unclean? Well, no, it's the language of cleanness that's being used. But instead of uncleanness flowing from the leper to Jesus and making him unclean, cleanness flows from Jesus to the leper and makes the leper clean. I'm willing. Be clean. The leprosy left him. He was cured. Go and offer the sacrifices for your cleansing in terms of the law, that you can then go to the temple again and worship with everyone. So this is a wonderful thing, that our uncleanness shouldn't make us feel that we can't go to Jesus. By nature it does. Our consciences tell us. But actually what is going to happen is we're not going to make Jesus unclean by coming to him in our prayers and in our sorrow for what we're like. He's going to make us clean when we come. That's wonderful. And Jesus risks in this encounter too. I guess there's a risk with the authorities. Jesus often got into trouble with the authorities. They found fault with the way he broke laws that they were so scrupulous in keeping, or they thought they were. And would Jesus get in trouble touching a leper? Would he get in trouble with that sinful woman touching him? Or another occasion when he touched a coffin of the widow of Nain's son and raised him to life. There was always a risk of falling foul of the authorities, but that doesn't stop him touching. Interesting. It's not a justification for breaking the laws or guidelines of the land when in a time of COVID, but you can see there are times when we need to touch, no matter what others say. There's a risk to his ministry as well. And we see that risk actually unfold where the man is told by Jesus, go and offer your sacrifices, become clean, and they don't tell it to anyone. Remember the two other readings we had in Mark 8? There's the same kind of thing. Don't tell anyone what miraculous thing I've just done. And the reason for that is told us here. Because he went out, verse 45, began to talk freely, spreading the news. And what happens is, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. So, if he went into town, he was just going to be mobbed. And when you're mobbed, you don't know who's touching you in a sense. You, Remember the woman that comes up behind him and touches the hem of his garment? Well, Jesus sensed that, but he still had to look around and know who it was until she comes forward. Well, Jesus wanted to have a more personal ministry. He wanted to be with individuals so that he could minister personally in word and deed to them. And that's just become impossible because of the disobedience of the leper. So there was a ministry risk in healing and touching. And then there was a medical risk. Now, I'm not saying there was a medical risk to Jesus here, because the leprosy's gone. It's gone from the cosmos. It's gone from the universe, as far as this leper is concerned and any contacts he's having. But in Jesus' day, there were no antiviral drugs and there were no antibiotics. There was absolutely nothing you could do with infection. Nothing at all, except your immune system was on its own. And praise God for immune systems. We don't know how many bugs every day our immune systems kick out of our bodies. And probably the answer is very many, but we just don't see it. There were lots of things on the go then. I had a wee look to see. Of course, there were probably things, whatever colds or flus or those kind of things looked like then, whatever it could be, airborne or waterborne or insect-borne or rodent-borne or whatever. There were lots of illnesses, lots of worms, roundworms, whipworms, tapeworms, smallpox, polio, measles, hepatitis B, TB, the plague, leprosy. All these things were on the go in Jesus' day. So there was always a risk where Jesus and his disciples were in the crowds, lots of risk. And undoubtedly in these situations, people were getting infected with all kinds of things all the time. You couldn't avoid that. Jesus grew up in a big family. And some people would say, oh, Jesus, you know, he was special, so he didn't get ill. Well, I mean, he was human. Of course he got ill. Because you can't insulate Jesus. Because he has to be tempted in every point as we are. He has to experience our lives. So, no doubt he and his family, his four brothers and his sisters and so on, in Nazareth, a squalid little place, as far as excavations have shown, just a tiny wee village, very poor village, lots of animals about, infections rife. He's part of that cause and effect, you know, passing on illness and so on all the time. Yet he's touching all the time. And he's encouraging other people to touch as well. And think about that. Jesus must, even though there are risks, the risk to his ministry, the risks of falling foul of the authorities, he must think that touching outweighs the risks. The benefits outweigh the risks. So what are the benefits of touching people in the right way? Well, for Jesus, first of all, touching helps their faith because he wants them to put their faith in him. And so in chapter 8, we saw the blind man, and unusual healing that. Jesus touches his eyes. Can you see anything? He says, I think I can see people. They look like trees walking. He's not healed yet. He's partly healed. I mean, that's a miracle. But it's like, why does he do it that way? And, well, we're not actually told, but perhaps it is that he's encouraging the man to think, well, he's given me this much. Maybe he'll give me the whole thing. He's helping the man's faith. He's wanting the man to believe in a powerful, willing Saviour. And that's what's happening here too. He touches and he says, I'm willing. The touch is a sign of his willingness to be involved in the life of this leper and to heal him. So touch is helping faith. As Christians, sometimes we need to touch. We need to really get involved with people's lives. We're going to help them to have faith in Jesus. We can't do that from a distance. You know, I know the church sometimes tries to evangelize at a distance. You know, it evangelizes through media that don't involve the saints having to touch the sinners. But that is not Jesus' way. Jesus doesn't stand on a hilltop outside the village and shout, "Repent and believe." He's in the village, and he's with people, and he's involved in their lives. And he's helping them to believe in him and trust him as a result. We need to do the same. And then touching is part of healing. Not all the time. In Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers. They stood at a distance, as the law told them that they should. And they shouted for mercy. And Jesus healed them at a distance. Didn't touch them at all. So he doesn't need to touch. But there's a lot going on here that is more than just physical healing, because the leper has psychological problems, like all of us have to some extent, because of our sin. Sin causes the problems of low self-worth and the sense of being unclean and unfit and being frauds and all these sort of things. And being touched by someone like Jesus is a sign that he's not just going to heal the body here. He's starting to heal the soul. And we need that too. That's why it's great to be with one another. And I've heard comments, and I've made comments myself recently, just how even just this building makes it possible now just for people to sit down with each other when the service is over. And touch. And we need that. Yeah, touching with words, touching with a hug, or, you know, just proximity, reassurance. Because we want people to be whole. That just doesn't mean getting rid of your leprosy or your illness. It means psychologically and emotionally, relationally whole. So this leper, he must have said, "He touched me. He touched me. Jesus touched me." That's an amazing and a beautiful thing. Maybe you've known that for yourself in your life. You've been in prayer and you've just felt dirty. And then as you pray for mercy, you sense his touch. He touched me. And of course, when God touches us, it's something internal as well. Reaching into parts that no human being can reach to. Is there someone then that we need to risk touching sometimes? Risk being misunderstood by touching in order to minister healing to them. Now we have to be wise, of course we do. But we can be so wise that we don't risk anything, and then there's no healing. We need to get beside each other. For Jesus, of course, it's more than helping to heal. It's about who he is as well. And this is something that's very important in this situation. Jesus is demonstrating who he is. And if you think about it, and if the leper thought about it, he might have thought, well, Jesus is not acting like the rules apply to him. And some of you have just thought about other situations in our political landscape where that's been a topic. Forget about that, because the rules did apply to him, if you know who I'm talking about. Because he made them. But Jesus also made them. And he can say when, okay, it's still true that you shall not murder, and that you shall not covet, and that you shall not commit adultery, and that you shall not steal. But now, in my name, you're not unclean by touching, only by sin. And that's what's happening here. You might begin to think, who is this Jesus? And Jesus respects the priests. He's not cutting under them and pulling their authority out from under them. No, he respects the priests. He tells him to go and offer the sacrifices and so on. And the priest would examine him and say, wow, your leprosy's gone. You're clean. And you can come to the temple again. He respects that, but he's beyond the priests, because he can declare the man clean before he even goes to the priest. Not only that, he can make the man clean by removing the skin disease that the man has. So who is Jesus? We begin to think about that. If we lived in this moment ourselves and we were villagers in Galilee at this time, we might, like the people in verse 45, flock to Jesus. The people still came to him from everywhere. We might flock to Jesus with our needs because of who he is. He can cleanse the leper. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. And no one ever spoke like this man. Do we flock now to this man? And coming to Jesus now is coming to the Son of God at the right hand of the Father in prayer. It's a wee bit different. It means faith. Well, that's what these people had, at least some beginning of faith, that Jesus might be able to help them in their misery and their poverty and their grinding circumstances. But we're the same. We need a Savior. We need Jesus. We need to go to him, because this Jesus can do what no priest can do. He can do what no one else can do. Jesus can make us clean. You are the leper, and I am the leper who needs his touch. Your neighbour is the leper who needs his touch, and maybe you are the person to bring that touch to them. And as a leper, if you're a Christian, you've been a leper, you know that. You've been a leper with sin. You've known his touch, and you can be like this man and go and tell everyone about how Jesus touched you when you were untouchable with sin. You thought God could never touch you, but Jesus made you clean. And he commands you to tell. And like this situation here where he says, don't tell, we're not ready for that yet. But now he commands us to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus helps faith. He heals. By his touch, he demonstrates who he is. And finally, he loves you. He loves. Filled with compassion. Verse 41 says, there's a lot of paperwork in the world today, isn't there? A lot of paperwork. Sometimes you have to do a risk assessment to touch someone these days. Is Jesus touching this man after a carefully calibrated and calculated process of thought, and after filling out a few forms and saying, okay, it's probably okay? No. This is just compassion. The compassion of God. It's a pure compassion. It's not like our compassion. Our compassion definitely has its limits. But the compassion of God has no limits. Compassion of God, it never dries up. It's not measured in terms of quantity. It just flows wherever it's needed. At all times, it's an absolute. The movement of God's heart to the world. And that's what we see in Jesus here. As we'll see next week, next Sunday morning, we're thinking about the love of Jesus. This is a human compassion here. You know, there is a divine compassion. This is a human compassion. It's a human compassion that is taken to its greatest height by the compassion of God, the Holy Spirit, working in Jesus. So this man is meeting something truly extraordinary, this leper, this wonderful compassion of God. And you might think, well, it's fine for God to show compassion because he can do that. and it doesn't cost him the way it costs us. And you might have to bite your tongue and take back your words when you think then that it is the compassion of God that takes Jesus to the cross, and it is the compassion of God the Father that allows and gives the Son to die on the cross, his Son, his only Son. It costs the Father, it costs the Son. And because Jesus wants to show this compassion and let it flow, he is undoubtedly angry with this leper. And maybe that's why in verse 43 there are two very strong words used here. When it says Jesus sent him away, it's the same word used for Jesus sending demons out of people, casting them out. He sent them away. It's like Jesus is given an insight into the damage this man is about to do to his public ministry. And then it says with a strong, strong warning. You know, he's really churning Jesus with a kind of seething sense of how he's not going to be able to touch in that personal way people's lives, because he's going to be mobbed after this. So you can see that there's a real priority in Jesus' heart to touch people personally. And here that touch kind of goes wrong, and touch can go wrong. What should have happened was the leper said, okay, I'll not go and tell anyone. Just go to the priest and I'll just keep it quiet for now until you say I can. That would have been obedience, and that would have allowed Jesus to keep ministering more personally. But you can understand the leper. Maybe you sympathize with the leper, but the Lord of glory told him not to, and he shouldn't have told him. And sometimes things go wrong when we touch too. It can be misunderstood. And of course we're in a world where there's always revelations coming out about inappropriate touch. And it's filthy, it's horrible. And it means that innocent ministry, innocent touching, innocent love is almost ruled out in many contexts. And that's terrible. That's a tragic, tragic loss. And why? Well, the devil wants society like that. He wants that people can't touch each other. He wants that people are all suspicious of one another. He wants to destroy relationship. And sometimes, you know, touch can be misunderstood. Touch can be rejected. Touch can lead to trouble, even where it's loving, compassionate, innocent touch. Well, that's, I guess, what happened ultimately with Jesus too. Those hands that touched were nailed to the cross. He was misunderstood for his touch. He was rejected for his touch. And crucified. So Jesus, if he really wanted to look after number one, should just have stayed in heaven. Are we thankful tonight that he didn't? Are we thankful tonight that he loves us and has compassion on us and reaches out to touch us, and we can call out like this leper, begging him on his knees, and he will come to us and minister to us? Even if you feel untouchable tonight because of your sins, or perhaps if you see people who think themselves untouchable in the community, you can be the touch of Jesus to them. There is a risk. It may be misunderstood. You may be rejected. You may be hurt. But there's a far greater risk if we don't touch. There's a far greater risk if we all live solitary lives. We need to be recipients of God's compassionate touch and of the compassionate touch of others. And we need to be donors of that touch to others too, the compassion of God. So let's reassess in this touch averse context in which we live today because of the fear of COVID and maybe other things too. We need to be wise. We need to understand where it's appropriate or not appropriate, but we need to take risks too. We need to act in love. We need to act in compassion, as Jesus does here, because it leads to healing, salvation, and life. Ours, one another's, and the people out there in the world that we touch in love to. Amen. Let's pray for a moment together. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful example you've given us here. It's beautiful. We are moved by it, and we want to have to just to yield our hearts to you tonight, Jesus, and ask that the compassion that you allowed in your human heart, the compassion of the Holy Spirit pouring out through you, may that be in our hearts too. May we truly welcome when the Holy Spirit moves in us, that we may be compassionate too. Help us, Lord, to touch others' lives with your love and your word and your truth and your grace. And Lord, help us to be touched ourselves by your precious hand in our lives. We pray for compassion all round. We pray for love all round. We pray for purity, cleanness, healing, wholeness. In your name, Jesus, to your praise, to your eternal glory. Amen.